We open on a small room made of obsidian and iron. In the center of this room is a shaft. We can hear the sounds of struggling, grunting, and then suddenly a hand appears as Alexis Wolf pulls herself out of this shaft and onto the floor of this chamber. She is sweating and breathing heavily, and she takes a breath. She looks around this room, and for a moment, there seems to be no threat, no danger here. No figures, no objects, nothing. Just a couple of passages that lead off of this room. So she takes out the gear that she was using. She sets it down and magnetizes it to the floor. And then she sends a cord dangling down this shaft. She activates her comm and says, "Digger, quick draw. You should be able to climb up now." She turns to explore this room, and it's then that she realizes that she missed something. The first glance around the room that she took. Much like the other rooms that they've found in this Ascendancy vault, this room is almost square-like, and there are passages that lead off in three directions. In the corner of one part of the room, there's some debris. Not unexpected based on the condition of the vault that they've seen thus far. But then Wolf sees blood. Lots of it. She draws out her sword and approaches. Now, the blood looks as though it has dried and congealed. On the bottom part of the wall, scrawled in a language that she can read, are the words, "They are watching us." Welcome back for another episode of Errant Adventures, the solo actual play podcast where stories are told at the speed of dice. With me, Steve Morrison, your game master and solo player. Now come on, let's grab the dice and see where our story goes. Welcome back for episode 11 of season 3, Cry Havoc. Last time, Wolf agreed to help Quickdraw recover whatever he needed to from the Ascendancy vault in orbit around Magonia, and he told her that he would contact her when they were ready to go. She stops at a market on the way back to the ship to resupply, and then is surprised to find a message from Quickdraw inviting her to a set of coordinates the following morning. She gets some rest, and then wakes up and leaves Raven with the ship, heading out to the meeting place. There she finds Quickdraw in the company of a bearded man who goes by the name Digger. Apparently an archaeologist who has been tasked with exploring the vault, Quickdraw tells Wolf that her job is to keep the professor alive. They arrive at the vault and begin exploring. It is falling apart, and they are immediately met by a wave of caustic gas that threatens to compromise their suits. They press on and come across a vast open chasm with floating platforms that they must navigate to reach the other side. When they do so, they find a vertical shaft that leads up toward the pinnacle of the obelisk-shaped vault. As we start this episode, Wolf is exploring this room inside the vault, and she finds this bloody message that they are watching us. She looks around and she doesn't see anything specific. Once Quickdraw and Digger make their way up through the shaft, she points it out to them and then she says, "Did the Azure Court mention perhaps that some of their people went missing or were killed? Or really anything terrible could have happened here?" Digger shakes his head and says, "No, nobody said anything about that." They just said the vault needed to be explored, and anything I found, I should turn over to them. Wolf nods and says, great. Do you have any insight as to security protocols within Ascendancy vaults? He thinks for a moment and says, well, some of the vaults I've come across have had bots that protect it, but we haven't seen any evidence of any bots so far. It's possible we just haven't come across them, or maybe there's something else. It's hard to say. The Ascendants were imaginative in the defenses that they applied to their vaults. Guess we'll just have to explore and find out. Wolf says, or maybe we explore and don't find out. Digger laughs and says, yeah, I suppose that would probably be better. All right, shall we? And we're going to continue our expedition. Continuing to stay vigilant, so we're rolling plus wits. 7 for the action score, a 7 and a 10 on the challenge dice for another miss as we are waylaid by a crisis or arrive at a waypoint to confront an immediate hardship or threat. Once again, do not mark progress. I feel as though we have set up that there is something around here that may have attacked and killed some of the Azure Court that tried to explore this vault before, and we just got this miss with an immediate hardship or threat. Is it time to resolve that? Is this thing that is protecting the vault going to attack now? Why not? What is it? Is it a bot? Is it some sort of mechanical defense? Is it a creature that has been living in here for thousands of years? I think it's more likely that it's a bot, since that's something that has come up before in Ascendancy vaults. So let's ask the Oracle, is the defense mechanism in this vault a bot of some sort? I think it is likely. 75 or less. 48. Yes. Yes, it is. Okay. So it is some sort of bot. So in Ascendancy vaults, we've seen in other adventures, small like orb-like creatures floating around. But I feel like this is more than that. This is a machine with maybe blades or weapons of some sort that could cause a significant amount of damage. So on a miss, we're waylaid by a crisis, or we have to confront an immediate hardship or threat. This creature wouldn't appear here. It would appear wherever they go to next. So let's roll and figure out what that might be. 37, intricate symbols or pictographs. So they take one of the passages, they're walking down, they're exploring. It's maybe 2 or 3 minutes down this passageway, and they find another door. That door opens into a larger room that has a couple passageways leading off of it. Unlike the other rooms that they've come across thus far, this one almost looks like a research lab of some sort. There are panels on the walls that seem to have Ascendant writing scrawled over it. There are some platforms with what look like computer interfaces on them, and there are, I think, signs of like chairs and desks and stuff like that. Things that you would recognize as being part of a research facility. Digger enters the room and is like, all right, now we're getting somewhere. Let me take a little bit of time, look over these writings and see if I can make any headway on understanding what this place is about. And so he goes over in that direction. And it's almost as if once he crosses the threshold, Wolf starts to hear this like, and she's like, Digger, stop what you're doing. Come back this way, please. Quickdraw's like, Havoc, what do you hear? She says, you can't hear that? He pauses and listens for a moment. And then his hands go to the pistols sitting by his side. He says, oh, I can hear that all right. I think Havoc is right, Professor. You should get back here. the professor turns and starts making his way back when a panel in the ceiling opens up and this metal frame falls out of the ceiling, and it is almost dog-like in that it has four legs and a body, and its eyes glow red as lasers shoot out of them, and Wolf and Quickdraw both dive to the side. Digger turns and dives behind one of those desks, taking cover, as it rakes its gaze across the room and leaves these burn marks in the walls. And then Wolf jumps onto her feet. She has her sword in hand. She switches it into her offhand, pulls out her laser pistol, takes aim, and is going to fire. We could do a full fight here, but I think I want to just resolve this with a battle move. So when you fight a battle and it happens in a blur, envision your objective and roll. If you primarily fight at range, use your speed and the environment to your advantage, roll plus edge. What I'm going to say is she pulls out her laser pistol. She fires it at the creature. This laser bolt hits the metal of it and just kind of reflects off. And she swears, she holsters the pistol, and she says, "Quickdraw, stay back. Cover the professor." And she switches the blade back into her main hand and charges forward. She is going to engage in a dance of death with this metal droid attack dog thing. Here we go. Rolling plus iron. 5 on the action score, a 3 and a 9 on the challenge dice for a weak hit. On a weak hit, you achieve your objective, but not without cost. Pay the price. Okay, so she defeats it. She charges forward. She slashes across its side, and her blade bites into the metal frame, and it rebounds a little bit, turns towards her. It rises up on its hind legs, and then the sharp claws extend out of its feet. It slashes at her a couple of times. She deflects one blow with her sword and then dodges to the side as the other passes over her. She rolls back up to her feet, lowers the blade, and prepares to charge in once again. And I have a question, which is, we have a clock going, that their suits might become compromised. I'm going to ask the Oracle if that advances. If it does, then that will be the complication for the weak hit. If it doesn't, then I think we have to ask the question of whether or not she takes harm. So I think it is likely that that is going to advance. So I'm going to roll the dice. That is going to be 75 or less will be a yes. 15 is a yes. So that four-part clock gets marked once as a cost for that weak hit. So their suits are not compromised, but I think she does take a blow. So she stands back. She prepares to charge. She charges in. She does this stabbing thrust, and it sparks into the torso of this defense bot. It almost penetrates all the way through, but the thing swipes down at her. She is able to raise her arm and block the blow with the like reinforced metal that's in her environmental suit. But it picks her up and throws her kind of against the wall. She maintains her grip on her sword, so that pulls it free, and sparks are starting to shoot out as it advances in a jerky motion. She regains her footing and shakes off the impact, and then she is going to step forward, blade held above her head, and she cuts down with a vicious strike. It tries to block it, but her blade shears right through its arm. And as it shears through the arm, she finishes the swing and then drives the blade up into its chassis, and the bot jerks once, twice, three times, and then it goes limp and falls back. Breathing heavily, she checks her suit's integrity. It's still intact, but she definitely knows how close she was to just having her arm sheared off. She's grateful for the reinforcements that she had installed into her environmental suit, that she would be able to absorb that kind of blow without it just shearing right through the suit. She takes a moment, looks around, says, "Quick draw, Digger, you two all right?" They both stand from the positions where they were taking cover, and Quick Draw says,
"You know, when you told me you were Havoc, I doubted you, but not anymore.
Nope.
I believe you 100%. That was amazing."
And Digger says, "Very curious, some sort of defense bot. I wonder if it was designed to protect this facility or if it was something that they were working on that went loose." And Wolf says, "Maybe that writing will help you determine that. If so, I would like to know if there are more of these things around." So they are going to spend a little bit of time at this waypoint. And I think we're going to explore this waypoint. Take a little bit of time, roll plus wits, look at some of this information, see if we can garner some more knowledge here. 6 on the action score, 4 and an 8 on the challenge dice for a weak hit. On a weak hit, you uncover something interesting but is bound up in a peril or reveals an ominous aspect of this place. Envision what you encounter, then take plus 1 momentum. All right, so my momentum goes up to 4, so it's not nothing. It's bound up in a peril or reveals an ominous aspect of this place. Are there more of these defense bots here in the vault? I think it's 50-50. 94 is a no. So there are not more of those. Digger spends some time translating the ascendancy, and he says, "Okay, so that was something they were researching. They were constructing as a potential combat bot. But that seems to have been the prototype. I don't think we have to worry about more of those. We need something interesting, though, that reveals an ominous aspect of this place. We know from last episode that this vault houses an ancient intelligence. And there was some sort of garbled communication when they entered the vault that they couldn't understand. Is that garbled communication, does that come back? Is it more audible? Is it more recognizable now the farther they are into the vault? I think that's likely." So 75 or less will be a yes. 69 is a yes. So they hear something over the comm channel, this voice speaking in Ascendant. What does it say? Let's roll on action and theme and see if that gives us a sense of what could make this ominous. 28. Debate. 96. Warning. Debate. Warning. An ominous aspect of this place that is debate, warning, and could revolve around an artificial intelligence here. Okay. I think I've got it. The goal of this vault is to preserve the intelligence within. I don't know why yet. I don't know what this intelligence is or how it's different from other Ascendancy AI. But there are a couple of options here, I think. One is that the vault could be recognizing that the Azure Court are attempting to take control of it, and so therefore are setting some countdown or something like that. But I think it's different than that. I think it is the fact that another Ascendancy AI entered this sector just a day ago. And I think that this vault can recognize the presence of another Ascendancy AI. And maybe what the researchers here were doing when they created this AI, it was secret from the rest of the Ascendancy. And so maybe the arrival of Valkyrie on the Dead Reckoning has triggered some sort of countdown. A countdown to what? I'm not sure. But I think it's another clock. And I think this is countdown to vault resolution. Because maybe the vault is going to purge the AI. So it can't be captured by a rival ascendant faction. Maybe the vault has the ability to jump into the drift and it is going to try and charge up and jump. I don't know, but I think we've got a four-part clock as Digger says, oh, that's interesting. Quickdraw says, what's that, Professor? He says, this combat bot, well, it was meant to be tied into an AI. And he looks at the other two and he says, I don't know if you two know much about Ascendancy AIs, but they are far more powerful and impressive than the AIs that the Founder Clans have been able to generate. The AIs that the Founder Clans have created are pale copies compared to the wonders of an Ascendancy AI. If this combat bot was meant to be connected to or tied into an Ascendancy AI, it's possible that there's an AI here present in this vault. And that message that we just heard could be an indication that there is some sort of countdown beginning. He looks around as if grasping for words and he says, I'm not sure a countdown to what, but I think we need to find the sanctum of this vault quickly. Otherwise, something is going to happen. And I wasn't able to make out exactly what the message said. But I don't think we've got much time left. And now, a mid-roll ad break. We'll get back to the episode in just a moment.
Snyder's Return is a tabletop roleplay interview and actual play podcast. We chat with content creators from both mainstream and indie publishers, and we release actual play episodes of systems like our City of Mist game, Meddlers, Monsters, and Madmen, and more games coming in the future. We also have a TTRPG review show on YouTube, Fly Like a D6. Come and check us out. You can find us on Twitter, @ReturnSnyder, Instagram, Snyder_Return. You can find us on YouTube at Snyder's Return, Discord, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
So they are going to continue their expedition. And this time we're going to move at speed. So we're going to roll plus edge. 5 on the action score, 6 and a 9 on the challenge dice for another miss. So on a miss, you are waylaid by a crisis or arrive at a waypoint to confront an immediate hardship or threat. Do not mark progress. So we have now not marked progress 3 times. This exploration is going great. So let's check this interior feature. 77. Unintelligible whispers. Great. Yeah, great. So they move into the next chamber. They're trying to hurry through. And they enter this next chamber, and it's another research lab. So there are more of those ascendant markings on the walls. And maybe this one is even a room where there are a bunch of robotic parts, machine parts. And so it's maybe the assembly place for that attack bot. They enter this room, and now there's just this low level, like, just running through the air. As they enter this room, there is another burst of that gas as one of the conduits releases and more of that just pours out on them. And you know what? Because we've got a bunch of misses here, so we're not really making any progress. I'm going to mark another tick on the suits are compromised, And I'm going to mark the countdown to the vaults resolution because, you know, we just got another miss. So let's just pile on the pain. I think they're starting to get a sense that they're running out of time, that this vault seems to be actively working against them. And Wolf turns to Digger and says, "Is it usually this bad?" And he's like, "I mean, 50-50. So let's just continue knocking our head against the wall here and undertake another leg of this expedition. Plus edge. 4 on the action score, 3 and a 9 on the challenge dice. For a weak hit. So we can finally mark progress. Remember I said this was a dangerous expedition because I didn't want to belabor the point? Well, here we are, marking our 3rd and 4th boxes of progress on our 10 progress track. We are going to gain some progress, but we either have to suffer cost en route or face a peril at the waypoint. What's our waypoint again? 50 is mummified or decayed corpses. I don't think these are the corpses of the Azure Court soldiers. I think these are ascendant corpses, especially if they're mummified. And so they come into this next room. They found the research wing of this vault, and it is a research lab. The door is sealed, and they kind of brace themselves a little bit and unseal the door. And when they do, it opens and they find these bodies of ascendants that are fairly well preserved. And it seemed as though they were trying to like claw their way out of this room. Why could that be? Let's see what our peril is. 43. Isolation or fear presses in. I'm going to interpret that as there is some sort of aura in this room that stuck from these ascendants who died here. This terror, this fear of the walls closing in around them, of not being able to escape, this sense of claustrophobia. All three of them begin to feel it almost in this supernatural way. And they are going to have to endure that. And I think that's just a face danger. We're reacting to an imminent threat. And I think it's going to be plus heart, unfortunately, because we're facing this with resolve. Here we go. Plus 1. 6 on the action score, a 3 and a 1 on the challenge dice for a strong hit. So we get to move our momentum up to 5. Wolf feels this pressure against her psyche, and she closes her eyes for a moment. She takes a deep breath, and she says, "We are not going to die here. We are not going to be lost in this place. This pain is not ours to carry." She turns and looks at the other two, and she can see that it is affecting them. She can see it on their faces as well. And she's like, "This pain is not us. It's not for us. It's not our concern. Whatever happened here was terrible. But we have to move on. Quickly, follow me." And she is going to press them forward to the next leg of their expedition. Continuing at speed. 6 on the action score, 4 and a 3 on the challenge dice for a strong hit. Finally, a strong hit on undertaking the expedition. Reach a waypoint, envision the location, and mark progress per the rank. So we are going up to 6 boxes of progress, and I think we're transitioning into the sanctum. So let's roll a sanctum feature. 55. Pulsating surfaces. That's fun. They climbed up this shaft, and then they've been going through these various research labs. I think they find another passage at the end of this series of research labs, and the passage has a slow but steady incline up. They continue making their way into the next room, and it seems like it's this wide, almost oval-shaped room. The floor and the wall, it seems like it's pulsing, almost with a heartbeat. almost as if it's a living, breathing thing. There's this like, as the walls and the floor and everything are pulsating to that rhythm. And they are looking around. Digger says, yeah, this is the sanctum. This is definitely, we're getting close to the heart of this vault. Not to alarm anyone, but things could get weirder from here. Wolf stops and looks and says, are you serious? He shrugs and says, I don't make the rules. The Ascendants were wild. All right, well, let's keep moving. And they are going to continue plus edge once again. Moving at speed. 7 on the action score, 2 fives on the challenge dice for another strong hit. I just needed to endure the hurt and pain of those misses in order to get to these strong hits. So we're going to mark progress once again, and we've got a match, which gives us an opportunity. And we just so happen to have a sanctum opportunity table. So let's roll on it. 7. Access to a secret or protected area. Okay. I think we might be at the end here. I feel like that's what this opportunity is. They proceed through this pulsing oval-shaped room, and then there's only one door leading out of this. It's a small passage, and it leads into an additional room from which there are no passages leading out. They're looking around, and Digger says, I think we're right under the pinnacle of this vault, under the pinnacle of the obelisk. This may be the heart. Give me a moment. I'm going to look around. And he spends some time looking around. This room is much like the research rooms that they found before, full of ascendant writings. And there are symbols drawn on the floor, and it's somewhere between a research lab and some sort of site of arcane ritual. They are looking around, they're exploring this place, and I think eventually Digger says, over here. Quickdraw replies and says,
Professor, what have you found?
They approach, and Digger is smiling. He says, I thought maybe there was a secret panel somewhere in this room. And I was right. It's up there. And he points up, and there's a slight distortion in the ceiling. It doesn't quite match. He points to the symbols on the ground, and he says, I've seen references to setups like this. This is how the Ascendants created their AIs. They are machines like the AIs that we know, but they also have undergone a ritual to fuse the energy of the Forge into them. I think that may be what makes them special. I've read references to this ritual, but I've never actually seen an intact site with the symbols. And he's taking images of them. He's like, this is groundbreaking. This could revolutionize the way that we create AIs. If we can reverse engineer and figure out how they performed this ritual, the possibilities are endless. But that's not the most interesting part here. These also are signposts. Signposts to the heart of the vault. Wolf says, this isn't the heart? He shakes his head and says, no. No, this isn't the heart. The heart's up there. And he walks around, and in a sequence, he touches the symbols, and they illuminate. Once all 5 of the symbols have illuminated, that discoloration in the ceiling ripples. And it's not that part that moves. It's all of the rest of the ceiling that peels back and opens up. And they can see that there is open air above them leading to the pinnacle of this obelisk, this darkness, this void inside the vault. The ground that they're standing on begins to rise, and it rises and rises and rises until those symbols connect with the base of the ceiling that is just floating there, floating in the emptiness of the void. And they are standing now around this pillar at the heart of the vault, on which floats this quartz orb that is flashing multicolored. We have 8 boxes of progress. It's time to finish our expedition. We're going to roll challenge dice, compare it against our 8 progress. Got a 5 and a 4 for a strong hit. On a strong hit, you reach your destination or complete your survey. Mark a reward on your Discovery's legacy track per the expedition's rank. This was a dangerous expedition, so that is 2 ticks on the Discovery's legacy track. We don't have any yet, so Wolf now has 2 ticks. So we have a strong hit, which means we have successfully reached the heart of this vault. Wolf, Digger, and Quickdraw stand around this pedestal at the heart of the Magonia Vault. This multicolored quartz orb that is flashing and spinning. It's almost mesmerizing. Wolf recognizes what it is. She recognizes it because she has seen a similar orb. In fact, that similar orb resides at the heart of the Dead Reckoning, hidden away in a place that no one can see. She sees it, and almost involuntarily, she takes a step forward. Digger says, "Careful. That's an Ascendancy AI." She says, "Yeah, it is." "Hello?" A voice responds and says, "Hello, who are you?" Wolf smiles and says, "My name is," and she looks at Quickdraw and Digger and then says, "Havoc." "That is not your name." "No, but it is what I'm called, at least here. We're not interested in hurting you." "Why would you hurt me? How could you hurt me? I am beyond you. I am beyond your power to hurt." Wolf smiles and says, I hope that's true. It's a long story, but you understand that there is a fleet orbiting around your vault, right?"
"Yes, I understand."
"Good. That fleet is dangerous, and they want to use you, although they don't know you exist yet, but they want to use you or the power of this vault to control this sector. We don't want that to happen. So I think it would be best if you came with us."
"Where would we go?"
Havoc turns to Quickdraw and recognizes a gleam in his eye. And she says, "You knew this AI was in here. That's why you came. That's what you're after." Quickdraw smiles and says,
"We're all about moving important things from one place to the other. That's my whole gig. But yes, I knew, and that's why we're here."
Digger looks at him, somewhat surprised as well, and says, "You knew there was an AI here and you didn't tell me? You didn't think that would be useful for our exploration?"
"Look, I'm not the bad guy here. I'm the one keeping you alive, Professor, and I'm the one helping your friends, Havoc. We all have deals we have to make. Now,"
and he turns to address the AI and says,
"what Havoc says is true. We're not here to hurt you. In fact, I want to take you away from here and take you to a place where you'll be able to help people, if that's what you want. I mean, I don't even know what your deal is. All I know is you can't fall into the Azure Quartz hands."
"What is this AI's deal. Let's roll an action and theme. 91. Support. 100. World. Support world. Okay, so it's not meant to attack. It is meant to support a world. Maybe that would be, for the Ascendancy, an orbital station, or maybe it would actually be meant to combine with a world. It is meant to support, to help. So I think it would be, in my collection of Ascendancy AIs, it would be a protection unit. The AI says, I am designed to help and support. I am called Fulcrum. Wolf looks back at Quickdraw and says, we're going to have a conversation about what you plan to do with this AI. She turns back and says, Fulcrum, do you want to come with us? Do you understand what's at stake? Fulcrum says, I understand. And yes, I would like to come with you. This place is falling apart around me. I do not think that I have even enough strength for one more trip through the drift. Please, take me from this tomb. Wolf nods and says, all right, let's get you out of here. Thanks for listening to Errant Adventures, and thanks so much to Sirenscape for the lovely ambient sounds and music throughout the episode. If you enjoyed the show, please spread the word, and if you want to support the show directly, leave me a review or buy me a coffee at ko-fi.com/errantadventures. If you want to interact with me, I'm at errantsolopod on Twitter and Instagram, or you can email me at errantsolopod@gmail.com. I also post campaign-related materials on my website, errantadventurespod.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you next time.